Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thanks so much for joining me today as we have some great conversation celebrating Teacher Appreciation Day. Those teachers who shape our lives and who have put so much time in, so many hours in, to make sure that our lives and the lives of our children are filled with knowledge and wisdom, and we're thankful for those. So we're going to visit a couple of schools today and hear about teachers, and hope you can join us for all the conversations. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin on our website, KFUO.org. Look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section. We're going to head out to Cornelius, Oregon for our first conversation right here on Faith and Family. Joining us by phone today, Mike Sheeman. He serves as principal of Forest Hills Lutheran Christian School in Cornelius, Oregon. Mike, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thanks, Andy. Good morning.
It's great to have you with us this morning, and look forward to hearing about the teachers at Forest Hills Lutheran Christian School in Cornelius, Oregon. Tell us about the school there, Forest Hills.
Sure. Well, Forest Hills is located just south of Cornelius and really serves three main communities on the west side of Portland. We're a pre-K through 8th grade school, and continuing to look for ways that we can grow and serve our community and really share the love of God and Christ with all of the kids and their families here. So we have about 185 students currently, and just this past year we opened up a satellite campus in Beaverton, Oregon. And that's kind of been a new program that we're working with, and we pray that God would bless us with more students as we continue to grow in that area, too. So a lot of great things on the horizon for the school.
Well, very good. And the school has been, how long has Forest Hills Lutheran School been there?
We are in our 21st year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that. You're finally an adult now.
There you go.
Well, the school has been there for 21 years and serving the community. What about tell us about the children in the community where Forest Hills Lutheran Christian School is. What is the community like there?
Well, it's a great community as far as families go. So it's a younger community, and mm-hmm. it's constantly growing. There's really two main industries in our area out here. Intel has 7 different plants, and so we see a lot of families that come our way who work with Intel, so a lot of technology in our region. And then the other one is Nike has their world headquarters out here in Beaverton, so we have a number of families who have parents that work at the Nike campus. And so those are kind of the two main draws. And with that, you get a variety of people demographically. So mm-hmm. you have a lot of people that come from different backgrounds, different cultures that have relocated here. You have a lot of people just from within the United States that locate to our area. And there's some that are here that are in very solid positions, but we also are seeing a bit of a flux where families are here for a time and then maybe they're relocated or they move on. We haven't really been impacted too drastically as a school for that. Thankfully, it's just we're mainly welcoming more people than we're saying goodbye to anybody. So it's a great area where people can come. They can enjoy the outdoors. It's so close to the ocean. So we have a lot of vacation people that come our way, and it's a really great community in which to raise a family.
Well, that's great. Glad to hear that. And tell us about the teachers who make up the faculty there at Forest Hills Lutheran School in Cornelius.
Sure. We have quite a broad staff here as well, as far as experience goes, and we have some teachers who are kind of new. We have a couple of teachers who have come to us from the public system who were going through the Lutheran colloquy training, and they've brought a great element of kind of what is in the world that we need to be aware of as a Lutheran school. We also have a good number of staff that have taught at a variety of different Lutheran schools that we celebrated during National Lutheran Schools Week. They stood up and shared the schools where they had served. And so we have staff that have come our way from all over the country, and I can say the same thing being from Canada myself. But we are, we're a great group of people here with a common purpose in sharing the gospel.
What first motivated you to consider becoming a Lutheran educator? Where was that spark, that first bit of encouragement for you?
Oh, I would say it would have had to come from people in kind of in my youth and into my university years that that put that spark in me. I think that I always had kind of the idea that I wanted to be a teacher, but as I was considering my own classroom, I thought I couldn't help but start and end the day with prayer, something as simple as that, yet it would be restricted in a public school setting. And I thought, I want to be in a place where I can openly share my faith and pray that God would use me as his hands and feet with whatever kid would come across my path. And I especially liked the Lutheran schools because there's really, it's a missional field where students of any faith background can come, and quite frankly, students with no faith background can come. And they get to hear the gospel for the first time, and just to see the wonder and see the Spirit at work in their hearts is something to which I really felt called.
Very good. And you get to do that today. You get
Absolutely.
To teach and proclaim the word of God where you are. You get to have those conversations regarding Jesus and strengthening the faith, supporting the faith of those children you serve daily. Tell us about some of the teachers and some of the stories from the classroom that either you or some of the teachers you serve with have experienced, where you know that this is what being a teacher is all about.
For sure. Well, I'll tell you, being a teacher in a Lutheran school is really, it requires a real dedication on the part of the teacher. It requires a real sacrifice, and I believe the staff that we have here at Forest Hills are all very willing, in fact, even excited to make that sacrifice. And the opportunity, the call that they know to support the pastoral ministry through Lutheran school is something they take quite seriously. And you face a lot of things as a Lutheran teacher today because, of course, we're in the world but called to be not part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids bring those worldly things into your class every single day. And teachers have to, in a Lutheran school, have to constantly think about, they have to live the faith because they don't know what's coming their way. And so I always attribute it to, "Oh Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise." I think that is really a great passage for looking at the life of a Lutheran school teacher. But I've got a great example for you that I think is a neat one to share. We have a boy in our middle school, and he came to our middle school very open about the fact that he was not a Christian. He did not believe in God, had no interest in this whatsoever, and we said, "Welcome to our school," and he enrolled. And the year went on, and the other kids in his class got to know him a little bit, and those conversations would come up, especially in science or in even in Christian studies, when they were looking at biblical truths that he couldn't understand or just, it made no sense to him. And there was one day I had a knock in my office door, and I had four boys from middle school that said, "Mr. Sheeman, we need to talk to you for a few minutes." And so I sat down with them, and they said, "You know, we are really concerned about this classmate of ours who doesn't believe in God. We just don't know how somebody can't believe in him. And we want him to believe. We want him to be in heaven with us one day." And there were tears in their eyes for middle school boys to be so passionate about sharing the love of God with one of their classmates. So we talked about whose work it is to create saving faith, and that we would simply lift him up in prayer. We would continue to show him what the life of a Christian looks like, both as a sinner and as a saint, receiving grace and the gospel of forgiveness. We lift him up in prayer and ask the Spirit to do what the Spirit does. And so I think they wanted more concrete, actionable items, but they took that, and we prayed for that boy, and they've continued to do so. So this boy came and talked to me and said, "I just want people to respect that I don't believe and just leave me alone." And I said, "That's what we're going to do." And in my head, of course, I know we're going to be lifting him up in prayer and lifting him to the Lord. So a couple months later, I was at a teacher's conference, and I was there with this boy's teacher. We went to the local Christian bookstore, and the teacher right away, she saw the ESV version of the Bible that's the comic book Bible. I don't know if you've seen this before. And she right away knew that this boy in her class really liked that kind of drawing and that kind of style. So she bought him the Bible. And got back to school, and she gave it to him and said, here, just check this out. I think you might be interested. And about a week later, I got a text from the teacher as I'm sitting at my desk working of a picture of this boy reading the Bible, and her text simply said, he won't stop reading. And it was just a combination of people who had encouraged him in the faith and had provided him with resources to the point where she could relate to him on his level, on it with a common kind of language or idea, but using the scriptures to do it. And since then, he has read that book. He has read through the scriptures, and it's something that he still has with him today. And I don't know if he believes or not at this point, but I know that the word of Christ is dwelling in him richly, and I praise God for that teacher who took the time to know this student, who had him at the front of her mind when we're at a conference and we're shopping around, who bought him that book with no strings attached, and who continues to lift him up in prayer today. That's one example of the ministry that I see every single day through Lutheran schools and Lutheran teachers.
And that's, I think, where a teacher understands her vocation very clearly, the most important thing, the one thing needful that we're given to teach, and that is the Word of God, and how she's done it so subtly in this child's life. But I'm sure it happens throughout the time in the classroom as well. But as you pointed out, she has taken the time to get to know the student and learn more about him and understand what he's interested in, you know, just the fact that she understood that he appreciated and liked that kind of artwork and found this piece, this Bible for him that he has now clung to and enjoyed reading so much.
That's right. That's right. And then there's examples of that, I think, every day about how in the Lutheran school, it's not just a matter of it's during Christian studies time that we talk about God. It's something that is lived out in the life of the staff, and we pray that it's then lived out in the life of the students as well, as they see kind of what the staff are doing, as they hear the word, as they engage in worship, as they just see the world around them and engage with one another. Even so much as a cute little story that just happened the other day, it just affirms the work that the teachers are doing. When we had a second grade science class talking about amphibians, and they were talking about how the amphibians really live two lives. They kind of have an underwater life and a land life. And one boy just raised his hand and said, kind of like we have two lives, one here on earth and one in heaven. And just those little things that you smile when you see God at work in the hearts of these kids. Neat little stories.
Indeed, and I'm sure encouraging as an educator to hear those as well.
Yes. Yeah, and it is very encouraging, and I'm so thankful when you asked about the staff here. They like to share those stories, and I think that's something that's really important, too, that there's that open dialogue to say, this is how the mission of the school is being fulfilled in this place.
What do parents have to say about the teachers that serve with you there at Forest Hills Lutheran Christian School?
Well, I think if you asked any of them, you would really get, you'd get the response that the teachers truly care about the students. And I think that's demonstrated in a lot of ways, that it's beyond your standard academics, that I think even if the parents can't necessarily place it, some parents say that there's just a feel about the school or a feel about the place. I think really what they're sensing is the work of the Spirit through the teachers in their own lives and the lives of the kids. The teachers really see it as a ministry to the whole family. So their children are here, yet it's important for us to engage with the parents and the family and to really be there for them as we're called to do through Scripture as the body of Christ. And so I pray that the parents, and I know that they're saying this, and I pray that they continue to say that the teachers truly care about their kids, that they love their kids, and I pray that they would know we would bend over backwards to support them through the thick and the thin.
Well, I know that in celebrating Teacher Appreciation Day, there will probably be some shiny red apples. What are the ways that that we can thank our teachers? What are the ways that we can say thank you to those teachers who have impacted our lives for the sake of the gospel, who have been those who have inspired us to be faithful to the vocations God has given us?
That's a great question. I think for a lot of the teachers, just knowing who they are and where their hearts lie, they wouldn't know how to respond to any type of thanks, because this is just who they are and what they do. My crew here tends to be a very humble crew, and when they receive that thanks, they kind of turn a little red in the face and just kind of give a "you're welcome." And but to do it, I think, is very important. I really think that they need to be encouraged and they need to be built up and affirmed in what they're doing. Apples are always good, but I think the one thing teachers would like to know the most is that they are prayed for, that there are people out there who are lifting them up and praying that their own faith would be strengthened through, as they work together. Prayers for just a sense of wisdom as they face so many different things each day coming from every single angle. It's tough to say much beyond that, because really the look of that sparkle in a child's mm-hmm. eye is all the thanks any teacher would need. And I don't think that can be quantified, but if you ask any teacher, I bet you they can tell you exactly what I'm talking about.
with just about 2 minutes left, Mike, what are your words of encouragement to those who might be considering the teaching vocation, who a young person, or maybe even a person who's thinking of it as a second career, who might be considering becoming a Lutheran teacher?
Sure. I think going through a self-examination, looking at yourself and what are the gifts that God has given to you, how do you relate to kids? I think teaching in any way, shape, or form, it has to be relational. There needs to be a component of I have a strong desire to give of myself so that I can and help other students come to learn about the world around them as well. Teaching is so much more than just the curriculum that you see. Well, that of course is a big root of teaching. There's the unwritten curriculum that needs to be a part of that, of teaching students to preparing them to be servant leaders in the world that they're about to face, and thinking that far ahead. What's the world going to look like? What are the skills that these kids are going to need to have in order to be those servant leaders, but also to be heirs of eternal life? And I think if you have a spark of passion in you for seeing others learn, for working with children, for really being an extension of the role of the pastor in a school setting, explore it. Take a look around. Ask some people. Talk to some teachers who are new, some who are maybe seasoned and have been through it. And I think ask them those questions. But if it's even a thought that God has placed into someone's head of, is this for me? My encouragement would be ask questions and get an answer for that.
Very good.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for being our guest today on Faith and Family and sharing with us about your school there, the Forest Hills Lutheran Christian School in Cornelius, Oregon. Great to hear about the work that God is doing and using teachers to bring the good news of Jesus to kids and to their families.
Excellent. Thanks, Andy.
God's blessings on your service there and all the teachers. Thanks be to God for those teachers. Coming up in just a little bit, we have more Faith and Family. We're going to head to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Oregon was the first state to legalize assisted suicide. A physician can legally prescribe a lethal poison if the person has less than 6 months to live. Not to worry, they said. We have good safeguards to protect the people of the state. If that's true, then why did the latest report show patients were killing themselves with 2-year-old prescriptions if they supposedly had only 6 months to live? But those running the program aren't going to let irregularities like these slow them down. Instead of following the guidelines, they're proposing a change to match closer to what they're doing. We can learn from the Netherlands' earlier experiences. Now, they're euthanizing children, and a full one-third of doctors say they would euthanize mentally ill patients. History is repeating.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Worldwide KFUO is the most trusted place for sacred music of the church every night. Weeknights after evening prayer, you can hear sacred music on KFUO in St. Louis, streaming online at kfuo.org. Our online stream is in high-quality stereo, so you can hear the difference wherever you listen, on your computer or Wi-Fi radio, and on your smartphone. We're Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news for 90 years.
Hi, this is Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. We are excited to walk alongside Lutheran Church Missouri Synod members and ministries as they witness and perform works of mercy and compassion around the world. Investments with LCEF provide the exceptional financial resources used daily to build faith communities and serve God's people. Our loans and ministry support services are available to LCMS congregations, schools, and organizations, as well as rostered church workers. Visit LCEF today.
Hi, my name is Julie. I'm from Hamel, Illinois. I am a KFUO day sponsor because I value KFUO and all it provides for me on a daily basis. Programs like morning prayer help teach me and strengthen my faith each day. Whether I'm at my desk or in my car or in the kitchen, I am always able to hear the gospel preached on my radio, which I really need. I also like being a day sponsor because I'm able to dedicate a day to my father for his birthday, and he likes to get that for his present. It's a way for me to show my parents that I'm grateful to them for having me baptized, and I hope this encourages listeners to support KFUO, especially during this special anniversary celebration, and so we can keep KFUO going another 90 years. Thank you.
This is Mary Schmidt. To be a day sponsor, call me 314-996-1518.
Hi, this is Amy Gertz, and I have lots of Lutheran school teachers in my life who are wonderful. One of the ones that made a big impact in my kids' life was Mrs. Meredith Marsh at St. Paul's Lutheran High School. She went way above and beyond, gave her extra time to make sure that my son was doing what he needed to get done in her math classes. And even when he wasn't in her math classes, she gave of her before and after school time to make sure he was getting what he needed out of math. And she was just great.
You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. Joining us by phone today, Dr. Christopher Cody, principal at Mount Olive Lutheran School in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Dr. Cody, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thanks. Pleasure to be here.
Glad to have you with us this morning. Tell us about Mount Olive Lutheran School in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Mount Olive has been here since 1950, so we are in our 65th year of Lutheran Christian education and K-4 through 8th grade school. Extremely diverse school in terms of ethnicity and religious background of students, socioeconomic status. We are right in the heart of the city of Milwaukee.
Tell us about that community. You're in the heart of the city, and you mentioned students from all kinds of backgrounds. Mm-hmm. What does it take to reach that community? How does Mount Olive Lutheran School serve that community?
Well, it's a blessing to be in a community like Milwaukee, even though it's certainly can be challenging. I don't know how many of your listeners know that much about Milwaukee, but it is one of the most segregated cities in the country, and it's also one of the poorest cities in the country. As a matter of fact, our kids who live in the city, 60% of them come from families in poverty. So the stress that puts on teachers and workers here is it's enormous, and but it's also a blessing in that these kids and families come to us looking for stability, looking for structure, and there's nothing better than to share the gospel and to share a Christian education with these families.
What was it that first sparked your interest in becoming a Lutheran educator? Who encouraged you to become a Lutheran educator?
You know, I can't say that I've known all along that I wanted to be a Lutheran teacher or a Lutheran educator. As a matter of fact, my senior year in high school, I was signed up for a public university here in Wisconsin to go into sports marketing, of all things. And I can pinpoint the time and place where I was. I was at Martin Luther High School in Greendale, where I graduated from, and I overheard another student talking about a scholarship that Concordia University of Wisconsin was giving out for students who were going into professional church work. And it was at that moment that something just clicked inside me that said, you're going to be a Lutheran teacher. And I guess it had always been there because I have two uncles who were teachers in the Lutheran Church. One of them is still active as well. And so I guess it had always just kind of been there. I just didn't give it a whole lot of thought until that moment, senior year at my Lutheran high school.
Well, tell us about some of the teachers that you serve with at Mount Olive Lutheran School in Milwaukee.
We have a great staff here. One of the things that we look for when we hire, besides being having a servant attitude, is having the characteristics of empathy, especially being willing to put themselves in the shoes of our students and of our families. They go above and beyond what's required of a regular teacher. We've had at least four or five of our staff of 10 have served as sponsors for students who have been baptized here at the church because they don't have or didn't have someone else in the family that wanted to, or they felt such a strong connection to their own teacher that they wanted that that teacher to stand beside them as a sponsor when they were baptized. I've had the privilege to do that a number of times, and that makes your heart very glad. It makes it all worth it.
What is it that the teachers do or say, or how can you tell that that the teachers you serve with there at Mount Olive love being teachers? What is it about their lives, their days that tell you they love being a teacher, that this is what they see as their vocation, this is what they're given to do, and they love doing it?
Like I had mentioned a little bit earlier, they do go above and beyond, but the fact that they take an interest and an active interest in a student's faith life, and that's not unique just to Mount Olive. I think that's what every good Lutheran educator does, is they take an active interest in their students' faith lives. Here at Mount Olive, though, we've got 47% of our students are members of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, which means the other 53% are either active at a different Lutheran church, Church of God in Christ, the Baptist Church, and we've got another 17% or so that are completely unchurched. And our teachers have to be able to not only serve those students of our congregation who may be or most likely have been born and raised in the Lutheran Church, but they also have to be sharp enough and willing maybe to go out of their comfort zone and reach out with that gospel to students who have no faith background. And that can be challenging. It's not something that every Lutheran teacher is able to do successfully.
Are there any stories that really stand out of teachers whose vocation, whose work, whose love for children has made a difference in the life of a child or even a family?
Oh, boy, there's so many of them. I can think of one time where we had a family who was going to be moving down to Alabama, and the family had been here for just, I believe it was a year at the time. Mrs. Stecker was the teacher. She's since retired 3 years ago. But this family had come to us. They were here for a year or so and found out that they were going to have to move down to Alabama. And I can remember clear as day, this this child coming up to me and Mrs. Stecker as we were talking, and we were sad to be losing this family because we had grown close to them. And this girl who was in fourth grade at the time says, "Well, Mrs. Stecker, is there a Mount Olive Lutheran School down in Alabama?" And you know, again, just something that you know, it really touched my heart, and it touched Mrs. Stecker's heart. But that a comment like that comes out of a relationship that was grown between that teacher and that student. We also had another child who given our demographics and students who are not baptized, we are always pushing to have our kids baptized. And we had one child who had been wanting to get baptized, but the parents were a little bit reluctant. And so our teachers, you know, constantly had conversations with the parents about it. And this child was scheduled to have some dental surgery done. And the student got to the dentist appointment and was livid, would not, was so anxious, could not sit still. They had to cancel the appointment. And he got home, and this was on a Friday. He told his mom, he goes, I'm not going back to the dentist unless I'm baptized first. and so sure enough, the mom took him to be baptized that weekend, and he went in on Monday and had the work done. So you know, we've had teachers who have offered to have students live with them for short times, and yeah, I mean, the stories are endless, and with just a great group of dedicated professional educators here.
I'm sure that brings you great joy as serving as principal at Mount Olive Lutheran School.
Absolutely.
For the perhaps young person who's considering their future vocations, maybe considering becoming an educator, or even for that person who is maybe considering a second career as a Lutheran teacher, what is your word of encouragement to that person considering becoming a Lutheran teacher?
You know, I think if to be involved in Lutheran education, there are so many. There are challenges, but the rewards that you see on a day-to-day basis are just tremendous. And it the work that you put in, it can be it can seem fruitless at the time, but when you have kids coming back to visit, or when you have you know, someone like the student who refused to have the work done in the dentist chair. Those moments of joy and excitement and seeing God working in these kids' lives overshadow far and away any of the challenges and the amount of work that you put in. It is by far, in my opinion, the most rewarding profession that I could possibly be involved in.
And lastly, what would you like to say to all your fellow educators? What would you like to say to the teachers, especially those you serve there with at Mount Olive Lutheran School in Milwaukee, Wisconsin?
Well, you know, God bless them and keep the faith and stay strong, and know that the work that we're doing is it's impactful. Even if we don't see it every single day, we are planting seeds, and we know that when God's word goes out, it doesn't return empty.
Very good. Well, thank you very much for being our guest today. Dr. Christopher Cody, principal at Mount Olive Lutheran School in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Thanks for being our guest on Faith and Family.
Absolutely. Thank you.
From Michigan, we are Roger and Leela Thurow, members of Our Savior Lutheran Church, located in Scottville, just a few miles from the Lake Michigan shoreline. For the past 3 years, Leela and I have been day sponsors on KFUO in honor of our wedding anniversary. The voice of KFUO streams into our home, bringing the blessings of programs like Law and Gospel, Thy Strong Word, Book Talk, Moments of Assurance, and many more. If the messenger of good news has blessed you, we would like to encourage you to consider becoming a KFUO day sponsor. This opportunity to be a KFUO Day sponsor reminds me of the words of a great hymn. If you cannot speak like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus. You can say he died for all.
This is Mary Schmidt. To be a day sponsor, call me 314-996-1518.
Lutheran Senior Services Benevolent Care invites you to Works of Heart 3 at Merrimack Bluffs on May 8th at 5:30 p.m. Experience inspirational works of art, both vintage and modern, while helping to restore hope to seniors in need. The evening will feature food and drink, along with live and silent auctions. It's free, however, donations to defray costs are welcomed. Go to worksofheart.eventbrite.com or call Maggie Spencer at 636-923-2315.
This is Abby in sixth grade at St. Mark's Lutheran School in Eureka, Missouri. My favorite teacher is Mrs. A, and I like how she teaches us things and we can understand what she says, and she does fun activities with us. We play games whenever we have free time. She's always happy around us and she jokes around with us.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Joining me in studio today, Terry Schmidt, Director of Schools for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Terry, thanks so much for spending some time with us on Faith and Family today.
Glad to be with you.
In appreciation of teachers today and the many stories that I'm sure each family has about how they appreciate teachers, someone might be thinking about becoming a Lutheran teacher because someone has encouraged them, inspired them to become a teacher and to make a difference in the lives of children. How does one become a Lutheran teacher?
A Lutheran teacher is an interesting pathway. It usually begins with an invitation, mm-hmm. an invitation by a pastor or a teacher that you might be a great teacher someday. And if we did more of that, I think we wouldn't have the shortage issues that we face in today's world with filling our schools with Lutheran educators. There are two pathways. To becoming a Lutheran teacher. One is the traditional pathway. The traditional pathway is to attend one of our concordias, mm-hmm. Enroll there, get involved in there. What is supposed to be a 4-year program, but is usually a 5-year program by the time you stretch everything out, depending on what type of certification you have or you're seeking. And you finish that, and then you are installed in a congregation, and you become a commissioned minister. But, of course, there is an alternative route, and that is the QNET colloquy route. QNET is an opportunity for people of Lutheran persuasion who are educators to become colloquized through a variety of doctrinal courses mm-hmm. that they take. I believe there are 8 in that colloquy process, taught by very well-qualified instructors, everything completed online. A lot of our Lutheran educators who are enticed into serving in a Lutheran school without their synodical certification choose to enter into colloquy. Mm-hmm. You can usually complete that in the course of a year. It is a rather intense study, but it is something that is really uniquely prepares people. And usually those teachers have a great deal of maturity mm-hmm. and some experience in education. So the doctrinal things that they learn as they prepare are hands-on. And it's amazing how they can implement some of the things mm-hmm. that they're learning right in the classroom as they're teaching. They become very sensitized to Lutheran jargon, Lutheran Lutheran ways of doing things, and the basic catechesis that we mm-hmm. we all teach and believe. When I was principal at Our Redeemer in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, we had several of our teachers who went through colloquy, and all of them, it was a hard pull when they were teaching full-time and taking those classes.
Sure, that's a lot of work.
But all of them were attuned to the religious opportunity and dimension that mm-hmm. resulted from that. And I'll tell you just one quick little story. We had a student teacher from Concordia, one of the Concordias that mm-hmm. shall remain unnamed at this point. And she was teaching a religion lesson in the classroom of a colloquy student. And in the religion lesson, she had a group of second graders sitting on the rug, and she was asking them, how do you come to be saved? And the child said, believe in Jesus Christ. And she said the word, and.
Oh, my.
And the teacher was sitting there, and her colloquy antenna began to emerge from
sure.
her head. And again, she asked the question, how do you come to be saved? And the little second grader said, believe and be baptized. And she said, and. And that teacher got up out of her chair, walked directly to my office, and said, I think we have a problem here. Of which I went down, observed the remaining of the lesson. We actually called the supervising, cooperating teacher, the supervisor, in from the Concordia, and we had a little bit of an intervention about what was the basis of eternal life. So what I believe is that colloquy teachers have an antenna because they're a little bit more mature, and they're in the midst mm-hmm. of immersion into the doctrinal sure. part of their calling. And as a result of that, they are very, very in tune mm-hmm. to doing this correctly.
So there are two routes to becoming a Lutheran teacher. One is for the person who is planning on entering, who is beginning their college education. They can attend one of the Concordia universities
yes.
and study in one of the teacher education programs there.
Right,
to become
that is
a
track,
teacher.
A specific mm-hmm. track, because all of our Concordia University system schools now are universities, and they're not just teacher preparation or pastor preparation mm-hmm. kinds of places. So they have education schools, and mm-hmm. then they have a track that is education for work in Lutheran schools. And they would go into that track. Mm-hmm. That way they'll get all their doctrinal immersion as mm-hmm. a part of that track.
And quite often when someone prepares to become a teacher through one of the Concordia universities, that education that prepares them to be a Lutheran teacher, to teach in a Lutheran school, is really something that can benefit them wherever they go. Should they end up in another community, maybe because a spouse has to take a job in another area or is called to another community, quite often they can move from state to state. That doesn't mean that they always have initially meet those state requirements, but they can work toward meeting those state requirements
Absolutely.
For local teacher qualifications.
Absolutely. If they are in the Concordia system, mm-hmm. the Concordia system will certify them for employment in the state with the proper licensure that is required mm-hmm. by that state. So if they go to Concordia University, Nebraska, they emerge with their teaching certificate, the ability to mm-hmm. serve in a Lutheran school as a called teacher, and then the Nebraska state license. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if they go to Iowa, there are additional things that they're going to have to put in. But the doctrinal and
right.
spiritual training is a tremendous thing for mm-hmm. these teachers to have. Whether they may get, their pastor husband may get a call to a place without a Lutheran school, mm-hmm. and they may be
right.
in a community that doesn't have one, and they're going to go into public education. Their background in who they are as Lutherans and what they believe mm-hmm. and teach, they can live that out in that classroom.
They're well prepared to serve wherever they may be given.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. That is correct.
So the Concordia University system and studying to become a Lutheran teacher is certainly one route. And as you shared with us, also the colloquy route for someone who is already an educator, who is already a teacher and would like to, and maybe they're serving in a Lutheran school, maybe they're not serving mm-hmm. a Lutheran school yet, but they would like that opportunity to teach in a Lutheran school and obtain that certification to be a rostered commissioned minister for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. They can do that through the colloquy route. And the nice thing about that is that it's online.
Yes.
So that adds that convenience. While it's rigorous and,
yes.
and challenging, and
yes.
to do that while you're teaching
Absolutely.
Can be difficult, but it's made convenient at least
it's
by being online.
It's been done by many mm-hmm. and done effectively mm-hmm. by many, but it takes a great amount of effort during that year.
How does that education, whether it's through colloquy or through one of the Concordia universities, through the Lutheran teacher track, how does that shape our schools? The education that our educators get through one of the Concordias or through the colloquy program, how does that shape the education that happens in our Lutheran schools every day?
without a question. It does, because what we teach and believe as Lutherans is distinctive in the Christian faith. Mm-hmm. The way that we apply the application of law and gospel, the way that we interact with our students, the way that we use the six chief parts of Lutheran doctrine to guide and direct our students and engage them. These are all critical components, and they are all actively very, very important. If we want to maintain distinctively Lutheran schools, we need distinctively Lutheran trained mm-hmm. teachers. And that is a problem for us today, because we're not turning out in the traditional track as many Lutheran educators as we need in our schools. We need to increase that. And that starts at mm-hmm. the local parish level with pastors and teachers encouraging children to go into those professions, into those vocations.
And lastly, with just about a minute or so, who was it who inspired you, encouraged you to become a Lutheran educator?
My eighth grade teacher, Mr. Aldo Schnack, was a tremendous influence on me, both attitudinally and mm-hmm. also invitationally, telling me I could do this. So I was pretty well honed in from the time I was a freshman in high school right on in, because Mr. Schnack encouraged me. And that's really all it takes.
Well, very good. Thank you, Terry, so much for sharing this with us today. And thank you for all the work that you and our educators do during this National Teachers Appreciation Day. Thanks, and God's blessings.
And same to you, Andy, and your listeners.
Well, I want to say thanks to the educators, the teachers who have made a difference in my life today as well. And it's quite a lengthy list, but I want to go through and say thanks, especially to a lot of people who contributed to shaping the my thoughts toward my vocation, getting to all the things that prepared me for serving where I do today. A lot of those who influenced my desire to serve in the field of communication, starting with, believe it or not, kindergarten, first teacher that ever put me in a play. I remember my kindergarten teacher, Pat Winkler, and then along the way, Connie Wantland, my fifth grade teacher, and Debbie Fisher, my elementary music teacher. And then along the way in middle school and high school as well, Beth Yancey, music teacher there, and as well all the teachers at the Windsor School District. And then in high school, Laura Vaughn, my voice teacher there, and Pat Coffey, and that was my communications, my speech and theater teacher. And so great thanks to Pat Coffey for teaching me so much about speech and theater, and Debbie Anderson, my voice teacher there along the way as well. And then in college, Professor Lori Siekman, my advisor for my communications degree at Concordia University in Chicago, Dr. Eunice Eifert, my theater professor at Concordia University Chicago, Dr. Gary Bertels and Dr. Nathan Jastrom, who were some of my great theology professors, the Reverend Charles Freilich, who endured teaching Greek to me for 2 years, bless his heart, and Dr. Bill Karpenko and Dr. Bill Cullen, my DCE professors, and Professor Rich Richter in the communications department at Concordia University Chicago as well, who worked with me in teaching me what I've learned about radio and media production. Thank you to all my teachers and all the Lutheran teachers who are out there serving, and especially for the teachers who are serving our family now by teaching my son Oscar at St. Mark's Lutheran School in Eureka, Missouri. God bless you and the great vocation that you're given to. It is a noble task, and thanks for partnering with us parents so that we can raise up our children in the one true faith. God's blessings. That's it for Faith and Family today. Thy Strong Word up next on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.